And I thought we'd take time to sort of look back at the year in politics in North Carolina. I'm wondering, as you look back at over the course of the year, was there one development that surprised you within state politics more than any other this year?
Probably, I would point to two. On the election front, the fact that Tom Tillis decided not to run again, I think, was a surprise. The fact that Tom Tillis knew it would be a tough re-election bid shouldn't have surprised anyone. He obviously was going to be opposed by Democrats in a very strong fashion, but also had a lot of pushback within his own party. But the fact that he decided not to run again, I think, was surprise number one. And then the second piece, which is outside of electoral politics, but certainly in the world of politics and policy in North Carolina, was the fact that the General Assembly didn't come up with any budget plan. We, of course, have a state budget that remains in effect thanks to a 2016 state law that put off the possibility or even prospect of having any type of government shutdown. But the fact that Republicans who are in charge of both the state House and the state Senate were unable to come up with any kind of final budget plan that they could agree on by the end of the year really did surprise me.
Mitch, to that end, as we look at the General Assembly this year, the dynamic between Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger and House Speaker Hall, was that different than what had been the case when Tim Moore was the Speaker?
I think it was a little bit different. Now, we know that during the closing years of the relationship between Phil Berger and Tim Moore, things weren't going particularly well. Remember that because Moore had been the longest-serving House Speaker in the state's history, and Berger has been a long-serving leader of the Senate, not the longest-serving yet because Mark Fastnight still has that record, but they were together at the top of their competing chambers for 10 years. And at the end of that 10 years, I think they had really kind of gotten sick of each other. So I think folks thought that perhaps with new blood at the leadership of the state House, there might be a thaw in the chill between the two chambers. But I think Destin Hall also came in there with this idea that he wasn't going to roll over and just take whatever the Senate wanted to do. And I'm not sure that that Phil Berger and the Senate leaders were really expecting that. So the fact that both chambers have decided to stick by their guns and not fold to the other is admirable in terms of defending your chamber's wishes, but not necessarily all that great for the taxpayers and voters who'd like to see the General Assembly get something done.
You know, and speaking of relationships, Mitch, it just appeared to me that this year, even though they were at loggerheads on policy issues, there didn't seem to be as much personal animus between Governor Stein and the Republican leadership as there was with Governor Cooper.
I think that's really true. In fact, we heard fairly early on in the year at least some faint praise of Governor Stein's administration from the General Assembly. They said that unlike during the Cooper years, the Stein people would talk to them, return their calls, actually engage in conversation. And, of course, as time went on, you saw more partisan statements on both sides. But I think probably even by the end of the year, there's probably a better relationship between the General Assembly and Governor Stein than there was between the General Assembly and Governor Cooper. And I think things started off, you'll remember, between the General Assembly and former Governor Cooper in a strained way, because as soon as he won the election, but before he took office, there was a raft of legislation designed to take powers away from him. They did a little bit of that after the last election, but not as much as when Cooper came into office.
Mitch, we were talking about Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. One of the more interesting political races of the coming year is that Republican primary for his seat, where he's pitted against the Rockingham County Sheriff Page, and President Trump has come down on Berger's side. Is this a policy debate? Is it all to go back to those casinos?
I think it has a large bit to do with the casinos, but not just the casinos. There seems to have been sort of a long-standing issue between Phil Berger and other members of his family. Remember, one of his sons is a county commissioner there in Rockingham County. So the Berger family and Sam remember the last time that Sam Page jumped into a race, he was initially thinking about running against Phil Berger and instead decided to run for lieutenant governor and ended up far behind the leader in the field in that Republican primary. But you're right, this is going to be a major election. And, of course, this is going to have a statewide impact, but will only be really decided by the thousands of voters who are Republicans voting in a primary in one state Senate district. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there.
Well, it's going to be really interesting, as you mentioned, to watch, and we look forward to talking to you about that again in the new year. Mitch, you have a great Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you soon.
The same with you, Tony. Have a great one.